Hi, I'm Matt Welch for Reason TV. I'm at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas with Jeffrey Tucker of Laissez Faire Books.
That's right.
Nice to see you, sir. Yeah. You have developed an interest in giving a talk here, if I'm not mistaken, in Bitcoin.
You'd think there'd be more interest in, at Freedom Fest in Bitcoin, but there hasn't been that much because it's kind of new. It's only 4 years old. So we held a special panel. It was packed, standing room only 50 minutes to cover this gigantic topic, but we had fun and everybody was interested. There's so many questions and so many issues to do with Bitcoin. After all, we're talking about reinventing the world's monetary system, essentially, you know, from the ground up. On market basis, that's a gigantic subject.
Are they going to even be in business by December of this year, or they're getting Bitcoin and
okay.
People?
So, you know, one of the things I really try to point out is that Bitcoin isn't really a business firm or a business, right? It's an open source protocol. Really, it's just math. So in that sense, it's just ingenious. It's a peer-to-peer, cryptographically protected, distributed network, a currency unit invented by a guy nobody knows. So you talk about an implausible item. How did this possibly succeed? But it did. It after 2 years after its inception, it had already achieved dollar parity. Now, 2 years later, we're seeing enterprises develop all over the world. Most of the big enterprises that are developing around Bitcoin as an open source protocol are US-based. But most of the intense interest in Bitcoin is around the world. China and Russia and Latin America is huge, and all over Africa. Most of the unbanked parts of the world that are kind of excluded from the existing matrix of government, you know, currency exchange or the credit card system are very interested in Bitcoin because it is a peer-to-peer currency system.
What is the kind of practical interest or practical import of this thing, this new way of doing things, the sidestepping of the official gateway?
Well, there's two aspects to Bitcoin that are both combined, and they challenge our understanding of money, because it's both a currency and a payment system combined into one. So the payment system aspect of it is especially appealing, because it allows you to exchange real property anywhere in the world between any two people at virtually no fees whatsoever.
So it's PayPal with its own dollars.
Yes, and it floats against the dollar, right? So it's not a fixed relationship. And so people complain that Bitcoin's volatile. Well, yeah, big surprise, it's new. The amazing thing is that it's, you know, today it's valued at $100. It's a remarkable thing. It allows me to transmit real property all around the world with just a click from my smartphone. You can't do that with gold, really, and you can't do it with dollars without using intermediaries. That's the key. Bitcoin is just me and you trading stuff.
And as such, it's a threat to at least some governments and regulatory authorities.
It didn't come about the way governments like currencies to come about. You know, they like them to be studied and academics to come up with monetary policies and for people to come out with position papers and for them to float up to the top so the philosopher king and the Fed can implement the policy and so on. Satoshi Nakamoto, who invented Bitcoin, didn't do it that way. He just dumped it out on an open source forum and said, here's my currency, use it if you like it.
You see a lot of conflict with this. We're devoting an upcoming issue on sort of do-it-yourself versus the man. These technological workarounds, 3D gun printing is an example. There's plenty of them. Even food trucks in some way is an example. Is this a constant conflict that we're going to be seeing in the 21st century?
Now, I like that you brought this up because, you know, libertarians have a sort of a problem. We get convinced of the ideas, then we don't know what to do with ourselves. Well, we can read books and read books and read books and support this candidate or that candidate, you know, but what else? What else is there to life? And part of what you're referring to as do-it-yourself libertarianism is this new emphasis, I think, on building the institutions and structures and enterprises that can kind of create a new world of liberty despite the existence of the Leviathan state. And I think it's an exciting new strategic mission for libertarians. It's about time. It's like stage two, if you know what I mean. You know,
it's like building out a parallel universe that is interesting, and it's a demonstration project.
And if you look at the history of liberty, that's always been part of the project, in a way. The founders, you know, before the American Revolution, had large institutions, you know, churches and community organizations, all kinds of clubs and everything like that. And you look at Russia, you know, it wasn't the case that everybody sort of obeyed the state and then one day the state went away. No, it was long decades of sort of breaking bad, you know, went into it, you know, and building up new structures of liberty until the state gets weaker and weaker and less effective, and then the liberty-based institutions begin to take over. I think that's what we're starting to see in this country, whether it's homeschooling or Bitcoin or, you know, marijuana distribution, or, you know, whatever, enterprises and kind of do-it-yourself libertarianism. It's, I think it's particularly exciting for libertarians because it gives us something to do besides just sort of politically agitate and support candidates, which is kind of boring, actually, you know?
Well, on that lot boring note, we'll wrap it up here. Jeff Tucker, thank you very much for joining us, talking about Bitcoin and elsewise. I'm Matt Welch for Reason TV. Thank you very much.